I'm the music major. With
tears rolling down your face, with your heart feeling like it's gonna break, when your earth feels like it's about to shake, when you've taken all that you can take. Just remember where your help comes from. Realize it's got somewhere to run.
Tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. To rejoice is a choice, and I choose to praise God on today. How about you? Pastor Anthony Simmons here. Pastor Rebecca Simmons is here at our Amen Word Wednesday. We thank God for you on tonight. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We're going to pray as we open up the broadcast tonight. We did not pray on yesterday, but we're going to open in prayer tonight. The prayers of the righteous really do avail as much in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you right now. We thank you for Rhema. We thank you for Revelation. We thank you for the Logos written word of God that you have afforded to us in the name of Jesus. We praise you for the letter, God. We praise you for the author of every book. We praise you that all scripture is inspired by God. So, Lord, as we partake of your word tonight, as we look at the canon of scriptures, as we, Father God, go into the word of God tonight, breathe on us, bless us, break every yoke, destroy every ounce of bondage, remove every curse in the name of Jesus, and silence and bind up every enemy, God, every spirit of opposition trying to prevent your people from manifesting miracles, from becoming who you ordained for them to be in the name of Jesus. So God, bless your word tonight. Use me, your manservant, in the name of Jesus. So I humbly submit to you during this time of teaching and preaching. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Well, we thank God for you tonight. There's nothing like the study of God's word. There's nothing like the word of God. It is amazing, even though it has been prophesied in Matthew chapter number 24 about the end days, and in 1 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the end times. It says children will become disrespectful to their parents, lovers of self. People will have, in Matthew 24, wax cold hearts. If you have a vehicle, if you're a motorist, you can see, it doesn't matter what city or what state you live in, there are people trying to agitate you even on the road, trying to get you out in the flesh and out of the spirit. There's a certain spirit in the earth realm, and it was prophesied. Jesus said, this is the beginning of birth pains. Come on, somebody. He said, it's just the beginning. And sadly to say, because a lot of people don't know the word, their response and their reaction to what's going on, even in the political arena and in so many other arenas, we're responding, and God is saying, no, I need you to walk by faith and not by sight. I need you to see through the eyes of God. I need for my children to have the mind of Christ. Amen. And I, you know, trust me, I look at the news a lot. I listen to a great deal of talk radio. This is just what I do. I listen to both sides. I listen to a lot of the debates. I watch CNN and most of your local news channels. I watch a lot of, you know, clergy and evangelistic television. And I just try to stay in tune with what's going on in the world. But if we're not careful, he says in Colossians, that we are to put our minds on things above where Christ is. And when we go to Facebook, when we go to the social mediums, when we go to our television sets and our radios, sometimes it brings us right back down to that earthly realm. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up. Hallelujah. I don't want that to happen to you, and I don't want that to happen to me in the name of Jesus. But tonight, I have a goal that I'm trying to accomplish, an objective. We're wrapping up tonight our series on faith, family, and finances. This is kind of be sort of a review, but I want to really look at the life of Ruth as we talk about faith, as we talk about family, and as we wrap up tonight with finances. We know the story of Ruth right before 1 Samuel. Amen, where Ruth was in a land, a foreign land, and her husband died, and she hit tragedy, and she was faced with many trials, and God always had a trial to triumph in mind for Ruth. He always knew it would be a rags-to-riches story, a Cinderella-type ending for her. But this young lady went through a whole lot as it relates to her faith, as it relates to her family, and as it relates to her finances. So God led me to Ruth, which we're going to go to right now, and I pray that you can put a bookmark there in the book of Ruth, because we're going to periodically go back to the book of Ruth, but we want to travel around the Bible as we always do, but always referring back to the story of Ruth and Naomi. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. And you should find that book right before 1 Samuel. It's only 4 chapters, but a powerful story. Glory be to God, a very powerful story in the name of Jesus. Ruth, right there in the line, in the bloodline of Jesus, the father of David, Jesse, his father is right here from the story of Ruth. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that God wants to speak to us and teach us from tonight. But Ruth chapter number 1, look at, glory be to God. Start at verse number 1, Ruth chapter number 1, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrahites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now go down to verse number 16. We're in Ruth chapter number 1. Now we're looking at verse number 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And where you are buried, I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more, if aught but death depart you and me. Verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And as we talk about faith, family, and finances, I'm going to start out tonight talking about faith. Again, we're wrapping up this series tonight, but the faith of this young lady, Ruth, is amazing. The Bible says, when she saw steadfastly, that she had a steadfastly minded to go with her. In other words, Ruth had a made-up mind. She had, I would believe, and call it a kingdom mindset. She was not double-minded. She was not doubtful. She was not fearful. This woman knew that her mind was made up. She had a choice to stay in Moab or go to Bethlehem, Judah, a totally strange land, but she had a made-up mind to follow Naomi. And God is saying, as it pertains to faith, we got to make up our mind and stay in this thing called faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I know we're going to go to some scriptures that hopefully will encourage our faith on tonight, but it's not easy. It's easier said than done to walk by faith and not by sight when you see a lot of bills on your counter, when you're still going to the doctor's office and you don't see any change or progress, when it looks like it's going from bad to worse as far as your job stability and your career advancement, when it looks like the family is not coming together but growing further apart. It's hard to walk by faith when that is happening in the natural. Can I get an amen somewhere? But God wants you and I to live. The Bible says the saints must live. It is a lifestyle for us. We have to live by faith. It doesn't matter what your credit score is. It doesn't matter how deep in debt you are. It does not matter what mistakes you've made in your past. Ruth had a certain kind of faith that was admirable. Glory be to God. And I think we can learn something from Ruth's faith. Let's go here. Glory be to God. Because when the enemy knows that we're on the fence, or we're double-minded, or like Elijah said, how long will you be between two opinions? And like, think of Joshua. Yes, Joshua said, choose this day who you will serve. Amen, somebody. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had a made-up mind like Ruth. Elijah had a made-up mind like Ruth. And God wants the people of God, the Christian, the believer tonight, those who are living during the Trump presidency, during the time where there's a little unrest in the land, during the time where nuclear weapons are available to many countries, God is telling us to live and walk by faith. Glory be to God. Because the enemy, let me just say this, the enemy knows. He sees weaknesses. He sees vulnerability. He sniffs us out like an animal. He preys on us, P-R-E-Y. He waits for an opening. The Bible says the devil left Jesus for an opportune time to come back. And he does that with you and I. This is why he gets people when they're weak. They decide to stay away from church for a season, and now they're vulnerable and open to the ways of the devil. And God is saying, no, you need Sunday. You need that preach word. You need an impartation. Yes, we can stay home. Yes, we can be on the laptop. But it's something about getting in your car, going down to the house of prayer, fellowshipping with like-minded believers, being in a company and community of Christians that encourages us and empowers us. When I was stricken with cancer in that hospital and I couldn't get to church, that bothered me. I was in the bed, a hospital bed. I watched Joel Osteen on my TV set. I tried to watch preachers in that hospital bed, and it wasn't many on the TV. I watched this one guy one night, and oh boy, I just couldn't, you know, get what he was saying, why he was saying it. But I said, he's on television and he's talking about Jesus, and I'm going to listen because I'm in this hospital and I need some kind of word, Jesus, Holy Ghost, Spirit of Truth coming into my spirit, because right now what I'm going through, I need all the help I can get. And I did that with that hospital television. And my roommate had his programming, and I had mine. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. Faith come by hearing, hearing, and hearing, and hearing through the word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. We can't stay home from church. We can't stay away from Bible study. We can't stay away from midweek prayer. We need to get this word in our ear gate and read our Bibles in our eye gate, and then begin to meditate on the word day and night, speaking it out of our mouths. And then we start to see the manifestation in the fruit of God's word being done in our lives. There's no secret to how we succeed as believers and how we get along even in the days in which we're living. You know, I preached, talked about a Bible study, or preached a message about the 10 virgins, how 5 ran out of oil and 5 didn't. And every time we hear a word, every time we come to a Bible study, every time we go to church on Sunday, that's more oil coming in. That's a fresh anointing. That's a new touch by God. That's new wine and new oil being poured in. And we can't get dry as believers. We can't get sidetracked, even though the days we are living in are evil. Genesis chapter number 3, this is what happens sometimes when we're vulnerable and we're open and we're double-minded and we don't have that made-up mind that I'm referring to. Look at Genesis chapter 3. And chapter 1, the Bible says God blessed them, placed them in the garden, said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and take dominion. And then he gave them authority over every living creature of the air and of the sea. God gave man authority. And guess what, beloved? We still have that authority. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Adam lost it. Jesus got it back for us. I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, Adam sinned and hid himself I'm getting ahead of myself. Go to Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. I hope you're writing these scriptures down and refer to them later or later on in the week. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1 says this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The serpent asking the woman a question. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, now she said it, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now God did say, you shall not eat of it, but he did not say anything about touching it. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God do know that in the day in which you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He saw that Eve didn't have this made up mind that I was just sharing about faith in God. Eve didn't have this kingdom mindset. She allowed the enemy to come into her thought process. And many of us, there's just far too many believers and far too many saints feeling defeated. He prophesied we would be in this day. I mean, job security is shaky. The economy is shaky. Sometimes I've never seen so many people diagnosed with this disease of cancer. I just heard today of another person through a coworker who's been diagnosed. And we need to bind up that spirit. We need to bind up that spirit of death. Because through what I just read, through this account in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, sickness was allowed to enter into the earth realm. In chapter 1, there was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no affliction and infirmity. It's only when we get here where the first animal is slain and blood is shed for the forgiveness of sins. It's only when we get here where Adam and Eve are hiding because they sinned against God and disobeyed God. It's only here where Cain in the next chapter rises up and slew and kills his brother Abel because now the door was opened. And God is saying we can shut it. I feel the Holy Ghost. God is saying everything that's hindering our families, divorce and disease, depression, all this stuff that's trying to divide us. Sometimes there's a family misunderstanding. You know, it's amazing. Can I just talk for a minute? This is just in my heart. It's amazing how sometimes, you know, when they say, you know, President Barack Obama ran and President Trump ran, and how sometimes the presidency or voting for certain candidates can divide family. And why in the world should that happen to the Christian family? I mean, you can have different views, you can have different opinions, you can have different beliefs, but it shouldn't get to the place where it literally divides us as a family. We don't talk about family tonight, but God loves the family. He said the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, he is a covenant-keeping God. And what you do, especially if you're a mom or dad, if you are a parent, your decisions, good or bad, your life, hidden or public, your actions, known or not known, will impact your seed, will impact your children, will impact your offspring. You know, this is just not about us. We have to have faith for the family, faith for our finances, faith for the future, because God honors faith. The Bible says he is faithful to those who are faithful. He is faithful to those who are faithful. Can we go to Hebrews chapter number 10. I just need to make this last point about faith, and we're going to move on to family. This time is just flying tonight. But Ruth had just great faith, not just... Let me just share the three things I believe she had faith in. Number one, she had faith in Naomi. She married Naomi's son. She seen Naomi lose her husband, and Ruth lost her father-in-law. She say Naomi lose her sons, and Ruth lost her brother-in-law, and then Ruth lost her husband. And Ruth understood tragedy, and she obviously gleaned from Naomi's response, because for some reason, in Orpah, her sister was headed also to Bethlehem. If you go back and read Ruth chapter number 1, her sister Orpah also saw something in Naomi, enough to follow her to a strange land. That's like us being Americans going to live in Africa or Australia or Japan or Europe, just a strange land, and going somewhere and having that much self. I believe she had faith in Naomi, and she had faith in herself. Ruth was a strong woman. She had faith in Naomi, who she perceived to be a strong woman. She had faith in herself. And the only way we can develop faith in ourselves is we always have to keep educating our minds. We should always be learning, not just the Bible, reading the newspaper, reading books, taking courses and classes, always trying to take Bible classes or Bible courses, always educating and stimulating our thoughts and our minds. We must always be learning. So education is a way to have confidence in self. Another way is to perfect and work on our skill set, our talents and our abilities. That comes through experience. You get a job, if you can type fast, if you can drive trucks or whatever you do, blue collar, white collar, sharpen those skills. If you are good at talking to people, being a receptionist at a hotel or being a good orator, a good speaker, take Toastmasters, public speaking classes. My wife and I first had a desire for public speaking, wanted to be motivational speakers. We joined the organization called Toastmasters. Maybe many of you are familiar with it. We entered speaking contests. We won the club level. We won the district level. We won the local level. And then we went on to the national championship, not the national championship, but the regional championship, both of us. And we made it to the top 10 on many occasions, just learning how to speak, learning how to put together humorous and motivational speeches. Because we went to Toastmasters, they had manuals, not to say ums, not to have crunch words, how to speak comfortably in front of people. And we sharpened our speaking and oratory skills because we wanted to be public motivational speakers. And now it's helping us even in the pulpit. And character and integrity, another way you can have confidence in self. None of us are perfect, but if we lie or tend to gossip or tend to not be a person of a character and integrity, let's work on that. The Bible says, let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. And sometimes our action is speaking louder than our words as believers. We talk in Jesus, and people don't want our Jesus because our action is speaking louder than our words. Come on. I know I'm talking. If I ain't talking to somebody, I'm talking to myself. I met Pastor Rebecca in a bar. I was a Christian. But I was growing. I was maturing. But guess what? Even as a believer, I was in there drinking cocktails and beers and wines and coolers and listening to the music and smelling the cigarette smoke. But I was a Christian, but God was working on me. I was headed somewhere. We should not be 10, 15, 20 years down the road still in that baby stage or that immature stage. We must progress. Amen, somebody. Are you in Hebrews? I didn't even go there. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. I pray this is blessing you. Again, we're wrapping up this series because after my book launch on Sunday, Victory Over Cancer, I pray you get a copy of that book because I believe it's going to be a blessing. I was telling my wife at work they want copies, and some people said, can I get it on Amazon.com? Yes, you can. And I'm just so excited about Sunday. I talked to my biological brother. He said he's coming, trying to bring his son and some other family members of mine are coming. And I'm just so excited about releasing this book because it's pointing people to Jesus. It's pointing people to the miracle worker. Amen, somebody. It's pointing people to our Emmanuel, our Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Elohim God, Creator God. Yahweh, Yeshua God, that book, I'm not going to tell you about the book. I just hope you read it. Hebrews chapter number 10, looking at verse number 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. There it is. I didn't even know it was there. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Remember when Jesus referred to Judas as the one of perdition, is the only one that I lost? He knew Judas would go back. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Judas would go back to his former way of thinking, even though he saw the miracles, even though he experienced the raising of the dead, even though he saw blinded eyes open, he saw paralyzed legs walking again, he witnessed the two fish and the five loaves feeding over 5,000 men and over who knows how many women and children. Judas experienced all of that and still was the one that the Bible says the enemy Satan entered into him, and for 30 pieces of silver, help us today, God. What are people drawing back today? Well, what is making people fall away from Christ today? For Judas, it was 30 measly pieces of silver, and he had eternal life. He had a mansion in heaven not made of hands waiting for him. He had immortality waiting for him. And for 30 pieces of silver, he gave it all up. And I ask the Christians today, Pastor Rebecca preached it on Sunday, there is no going back. Help us, God. If you haven't seen that word on our Facebook page, please hear the preached word by our pastor, our prophet, Rebecca Simmons. She preached that word about not going back. It's not an alternative. It's not a choice. There is no going back. And the scripture says sometimes when we go back to whatever it is God brought us from, it's like going back to vomit, something that we threw up, regurgitated. That means God didn't want us to be and want that thing to be in us. And when we go back to certain relationships, go back to certain people, go back to certain lifestyles, go back to certain ways of doing life, she preached that word. And the Hebrew writer right here is saying, don't give away your confidence. That's the faith that I'm talking about tonight. Don't let nothing take your joy and your faith away. The Bible says that we stay in confidence and faith, keep the courage, we're going to have a great reward. It says it's going to tarry, but it's going to show up. To God be the glory. Let's go and shift gears. Hallelujah. Let's go and shift gears a little bit. Go back to the book of Ruth as we shift into talking about family. Turn back to the book of Ruth if you can. Now we're looking at chapter number 2. Ruth, look at chapter number 2, verse number 1. We got to keep, the only way we stay strong in faith is, again, faith come by hearing. And just like you tuned in tonight, hearing through the word of God. Ruth, chapter 2, verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman, family member, of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, a rich relative, that's my interpretation, of the family, there's that word, we hear a shift in talking about family, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace or favor. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. She called her daughter. We're talking about family here. This is a mother-in-law, and this is a daughter-in-law. Verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And it happened, and as her happened, was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. In other words, she stumbled on the field. She just happened to land in the field. It was not coincidence. It was God ordained, but she coincidentally landed in Boaz's field, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Remember Naomi's husband. This was his relative. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Or my interpretation, who that? To God be the glory. I never forget when I met Pastor Rebecca, it was a friend of mine in the club in the bar that night. And I said, Quinzel, yo, man, introduce me to her. And he knew Rebecca, and he called her Becky. He knew her. And I knew him, and I said, there's nothing like a formal introduction. And he brought me over to Rebecca. He said, Becky, this is Anthony. Anthony, this is Becky. And we're still married together 21 years today. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he inquired about Ruth through his servant. I just want to highlight some things as it relates to family here. You have a mother-in-law and you have a daughter-in-law, a form of a family. My mother-in-law, Mae Thomas, is her name. I love her dearly. She has just always embraced it. Ever since Pastor Rebecca brought me home, there's something about my mother-in-law that she liked about me. And I'm not the first guy Pastor Rebecca brought home. But my mother-in-law made me feel so welcome, always talked to me, always laughed with me, always was kind and considerate towards me, always was encouraging toward me. When I was sick and really one of my low, low, low moments, when I was dealing with my cancer for those 2 years, we were driving in the car and she called And my mother-in-law, Mae Thomas, prayed for me like she never prayed before. Now, I need to tell you, my mother-in-law, she rarely comes on the prayer line, and she's always there, but she's not vocal. She's not really outspoken. And for her to put me on speaker and I need you to hear me pray for you, son-in-law, she cares that much about me. And I believe God heard her prayers. That's my family. God heard my mother-in-law prayers because my mother is with Jesus. My mother's not here to pray for her son. But my mother-in-law prayed for her son-in-law. And I believe heaven heard my mother-in-law. And I mean, she prayed for me. And I told Pastor Rebecca, and she was in the car. I said, babe, you don't know what your mother did for my spirit. If she prayed for me like that, and I know that took her out of her comfort zone. But the Bible says, Boaz saw Ruth, that Naomi had a rich relative. By the way, we try to figure it out, and God has already worked it out. Who's to say that you will not inherit a fortune from a rich relative? I feel the Holy Ghost. If you're like me, God spoke to me that before I leave this world, I will experience great wealth. And I'm talking about in the area of money. He spoke that to me years ago, and I'm still believing God that that's going to happen. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I thank God for my FedEx salary. I thank God for 30 years of allowing me to pay my mortgage, pay my car note, help, you know, get the kids through college and all that stuff. I thank God that he has afforded me and my wife some of the luxuries in life through a nice income. But here, Boaz is rich, and he's a family member. And when we're talking about family tonight, don't let the devil come between you and your wife. Don't allow the enemy to come between you and your children. He is so cunning. All this court TV, all these Maury's and DNA testing and all this drama we see on our television, even with all these TV series. I don't have to watch HBO and Showtime. I hear about everything at work. And I know what's going on public TV and cable and satellite TV, just through talking to my coworkers, just hearing them talk to one another. But this spirit that's trying to divide families, we who are Christian, bind that devil up out of your house when you see a breakdown in communication between you and your wife or you and your children. Bind that spirit of division and discord up. Didn't the writer say God hate those who sow discord? In other words, the people in the church are the people sometimes who cause division. The Bible says our God hates that. Hate the one that causes discord. That means confusion. That means separation. That means chaos and just mess and drama. God hates those who sow hate and discord. That's why we got to be very careful, even over politics. People expressing their sides, and don't get caught up, people of God. Don't let the enemy get you off track what's happening in the natural. I'm not saying don't share your opinion, don't hold back what you believe, but stay in the spirit and be very careful. Be very careful and considerate about others and why they think the way they think, why they feel the way they feel, why they go through what they go through. The Bible says we can't judge one another. It says sometimes we got to pull a beam out of our eye before we can pull a speck out of somebody else's eye. And sometimes we judge people and we think we're wiser, we think we know more, we think we have arrived in certain areas and they have not. And God is even dealing with me in this area as it relates to my chosen and certain people. And, you know, even some people struggling to come to church. people struggling to get it right spiritually, people struggling to get it right, living right for God, people struggling in the sin nature. Listen, the Bible says, Ruth said, I'm going to go to a field, and I know grace is going to find me. I know favor is going to find me. God is about to restore her family. She lost her husband. She never had a baby. And back in that day, that was really a woman's primary goal, is to bear children. And she was robbed of that as her husband died prematurely. And God is now about to restore Ruth's family. Through her faith, her family is about to be restored as she's now interacting with Boaz, a wealthy man. We're going to get into finances as we close out tonight. But she found favor in the eyes of Boaz. Thank you, Jesus. We can't let this world take our joy. Don't let this world take your peace. The one thing I love, if you finish reading chapter number one, it says that Naomi was bitter. She said, don't even call me Naomi because I'm bitter. God has dealt badly with me. God has been mean to me. God has dealt horribly with me. I lost my husband and my two sons, the ones that I left here with. Now I'm coming back without a family. And Ruth was bitter because of it. And God is saying to us tonight, don't let nothing and no one divide your family. If it's your second time being married, if you have a blended family like me, listen, it's not going to be easy. If you're about to enter into a new relationship, if you and your ex have divorced, or if you and your ex trying to reconcile, or if you have children from a previous relationship, it's all family. Sometimes it's two and three families trying to get along together. And that's why I talk about the in-laws here a little bit. Because sometimes when we marry a person, I'm not gonna get into too much of this, but when we marry a person, you're marrying the family issues, you're marrying into the family curses, you're marrying sometimes into even the family secrets. There are certain family secrets, there are sometimes curses, there are sometimes issues. And when you have in-laws and you have extended families or you have relatives, guess what? They're part of your spouse. And your spouse is now a part of you. So the family is important to God. The family matters to God. Amen? I wanted to look at a scripture here, though. I was going to go to Luke 18, but I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. It says, will God find faith as he comes into the earth realm? Men ought always to have faith. In other words, that faith there is having faith in the right God, but also having faith and confidence in the truth. T-R-U-T-H. Jesus said, I am the truth. There's so many people in denial about the truth. I'm so glad somebody told me the truth and still tell me the truth about myself. My innuendos, my, sometimes I get in the flesh, sometimes I miss it. But a failure should never define you. A mistake should never define you. A failure or losing should never define you. And far too many believers are feeling like failures. They're not feeling like that more than a conqueror that we see over in Romans 8:28. They don't feel like a royal priesthood or a chosen generation. They don't feel like the virtuous woman over in Proverbs 31. Many believers don't feel like Gideon, king, the man of valor. Because life just keeps coming in. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Come on, Murphy's Law is at work. And somebody can give me an amen right there. If it's not one thing, it's another. As soon as you pay one thing off, here comes another unexpected bill. As soon as you resolve and apologize and reconcile one situation, here comes drama from another direction. As soon as you get a diagnosis and a miracle report on this end, here comes another doctor or another diagnosis, something else has gone wrong in your body or with your health. It's called life, people of God. And you got to be encouraged on tonight. My mother used to always say, life is what you make it. I heard that since I've been a little boy. Life is what you make it to be. We need to understand. She always told me, if you don't put anything in life, you will not get anything out of life. And sometimes far too many believers, we went the easy way out and we went the easy road. And God is saying, I told you in this world you will face many trials, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. The Bible says when an enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise up a standard. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No plague, that sickness and disease, will come near your dwelling. So we got to have faith. We got to believe God with our families. You know, Mark chapter number 3, as we're about to wrap up, I'm just going to look at some scriptures as a return as it relates to money, because when I talked about finances and Pastor Rebecca talked about finances, I think we pretty much covered a lot of biblical principles in the area of money and finances, what God expects. But it's about 2 or 3 I just want to read tonight as we wrap up. But as we go here to Mark chapter number 3, again, we're talking about the family right now. Mark chapter number 3. Looking at verse number 31. Mark 3:31. There came then his brothers and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling for him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, talking about Jesus, behold, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother? Or who are my brothers? And he looked around about on them which sat around him and said, behold, look around you, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus' perspective about the body of Christ is evident right there. You know, when the Bible says the arm can't say to the leg, I have no use of you. The eyes can't say to the ears or the hand, I'm more important than you. The body cannot be divided. Just like the body can't be divided and there are no significant parts, there are no minor parts, there are no major parts, we need the whole body. The eyes, the legs, the arms, the stomach, the back, the feet. We need the hands. We need the entire body. And just like the body can't be divided, he said, those who do the will of God, those who are in the body of Christ. Look at Psalm. I'm gonna finish my thought on that, but I'm going to go to Psalm 133. This is why it's so important to go to church. Psalm 133, and I know the enemy is deceiving people in this hour through technology. I don't need to go to an actual building and all this kind of stuff. But look at Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head and the raiment upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of the garment. As the dew of Hermon and the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life evermore. There's healing in the house of God. There's something about the sanctuary that in the sacred place and the sanctified place that's set apart for healing, for deliverance, for breakthrough. There's something about the altar in the house of God. That's why Jesus said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. There's something about the church building. Yes, you can have a war room. Yes, you can have a prayer closet. Yes, you can do so much at home. But how beautiful is it for brothers to dwell together in unity? That's meaning come together on Sunday morning. One more, Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. The book of Acts chapter number 2. Just wrapping up talking about the family. Verse 37. If I'm moving fast, it's because it's on purpose and I'm running out of time. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, family, for the promise is unto you and your children, help us God, and to all that are afar off, that's generations that are going to come behind you, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, they testify and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this unto generation. Then they were gladly baptized, received the word of the Lord, and they were added to the church. 3,000 souls were added that day. And they continued steadfastly, talk about the family, the body of Christ. This is referring now to the church family. They came together with the same doctrine. They fellowship, breaking bread, house to house, the prayers. I'm just paraphrasing. And fear came among so many people, signs, wonders, and miracles following the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold all their possessions, and they all the needs were met. And they continued daily according, breaking bread from house to house, praising God, and have a favor with people and favor with God. I thank God for those of you who call every Wednesday. If you're not in this New Jersey area, if you're not local, and I can't see you at the local church, I thank God that we're connected in this way, because that's what they're saying here. They were like-minded in that upper room. Yeah, they divided. Yeah, they went into the uttermost parts of the world, Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea. They spread the gospel. But in that upper room, before they divided, before they went to different parts of the world, before they evangelized Christ to the world, they came together, strengthening one another. They came together on one accord. It is important to be connected to a good church family. That is a community. That is what keeps us strong. That is what keeps us fortified and strengthened to be around like-minded people. People going after goals and dreams. People living on purpose, evangelizing, witnessing. People wanting to hear the word of God, discipleship, discipling. People serving the local church, ushers and trustees, deacons, ministers, clergy, evangelists, teachers. All this must be in place to keep the church strong, so the community that the church is in can be strong. But when Christians stay home, when Christians decide not to go, I'm not speaking to you if you're not local, but those who are local, come to the house of God, especially if you're part of new creation. Amen. Well, we're going to wrap up. To God be the glory. Just two scriptures I want to go to very quickly as we end talking about finances. Because we didn't pray last night, and I'm going to pray very quickly for faith, family, and finances. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 1. Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatians churches to do. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with the income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. That's the tithe, that's the offerings, that's the collection for Sunday service. We're challenging our church, and if you want to be a part of that tonight, we have a musician now, wonderful keyboard player. He plays the keyboard, he plays the piano, he's helping our praise team so much. We've been in church for a while now. We've had people play for us periodically. Sometimes we pay them a little, you know, weekly offering, and they play for us for a season. But this gentleman want to play for us, and we do give him an offering. And if you want to put something towards the keyboard player, towards the music ministry, we're asking you to sow $20, $10, $5, whatever you can put toward the music ministry, because now we believe in God for a drummer. Right now, I'm playing the drums, and we have a keyboard player. But I'm believing God, he's going to give us a gifted drummer where our music ministry can go to a whole nother level. When David played the harp, evil spirits came out and was cast out of King Saul. When the right music is put together, spirits flee. Amen. In the days of Jehoshaphat, he sent in the praises. He sent in the worshipers. He sent in the singers. And the Bible said God began to set ambushes and dealt with the enemy. There's something about music. There's something, glory be to God, about singing and cymbals. He said, praise me with the loud cymbal. Praise me with the drum. Praise me with the harp and the string instruments. So now that we have a keyboard player, we have a musician, the praise team is excited about it. They sound so good as they sing now. And we want to hold on to Brother Larry. He's a nice guy, and he decided in this season to play for us. But again, if you want to sow toward that, we would appreciate it. And finally, I'm not going to turn there, but Proverbs chapter 4 talks about honoring God with our first fruits. With our first fruits. Honor God with our first fruits. Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon is speaking in the Proverbs chapter number 3, rather, bringing God and honoring God with the first fruits. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for faith. God, help us to develop strong faith. Your word says, be not weary in well-doing, for we'll reap a harvest if we faint not. So, Lord, we don't want to get weary. We don't want to have weak faith, but we want to have strong faith. And we thank you for the supernatural spirit of the Holy Spirit strengthening our faith when we want to get faint or we get weak. So I pray for those under the sound of my voice that they will operate in strong faith. Faith for their family. They're praying for their children. They're praying for their grandchildren. They're praying for their great-grand. And God, I believe right now that you have strengthened their family through this series that we talked about. faith, family, and finances. So God, strengthen every marriage. Mend every broken relationship between mom and children, between dad and children, between the child and their parents. Every misunderstanding, every spirit of division, every demon that got in where people are not speaking to one another, where there's anger and resentment in the family, where communication is torn down and broken down. We bind that spirit up and let love, which covers a multitude of sin, rule and reign. Let the love that they talked about in 1 Corinthians, because it said without love we're clinging brass, we're a tingling cymbal. So we need love for our family. And let us as parents love our children unconditionally. When they make mistakes, when they fall away from church, when they're not in the will of God, let us love on them unconditionally. When they're doing their own thing, when they back up from the things of God, let us just love them unconditionally. Even sometimes when they show disrespect and dishonor, help us to love our children, grown children and children that are not grown. So Lord, help us to be mature. Help us to handle every tough situation as it relates to the family. And finally, God, I pray that the money that everybody needs to pay tuition, to pay for the new house or the new mortgage, to move into the good neighborhood, to give to the kingdom and the church on a regular basis, those who want to give more to the church, those who want to sow more into ministry, those who want to do more for you, God, but it takes money, I say bless them, God. Those looking for a sound, steady career in the marketplace, not trusting in Wall Street, not leaning on the arm of flesh, not looking at the economists, but looking to the author and finisher of our faith. Not trusting in our weekly salary or our wages, our compensation, but Lord, our commission, but trusting in you, God. Bless that person with a significant income under the sound of our voice. Give them a wonderful salary this year going into next year. Give them financial security and financial stability as only you can, God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this series. We thank you for faith. We thank you for finances. We thank you for family. In the name of Jesus, let the church say, amen. Well, we thank God for you. Again, my book is coming out on Sunday. Victory Over Cancer, subtitle, Winning Every Battle in Life. The book cost is $15. It's $15.15. I believe this book is going to bless people. God showed me that it's going to be in the cancer wards. It's going to be in cancer hospitals. When you see those book stands at the pharmacies, I want to see my book there, along with all those other spiritual books. And I'm believing Choice Books is the name of that company. I'm believing God that he's going to put it on the book stands. I'm believing God that people will get to Jesus. Even though the book is talking about my experience with cancer, the book is about salvation. The book is about giving your life to Christ. The book is about surrendering and submitting to the miracle worker. Yes, we need doctors, nurses, radiation, surgery, chemotherapy. But with all of that, people are still dying from cancer. It still has a tendency to spread to other organs and become devastating. It still, once it's in remission, has the ability to return. But I believe when we apply some of the principles that I applied to my own life, and cancer is out of my body. There's no cancer. I had a colonoscopy in April. It was not even a polyp to remove. I got a clean bill of health. And I believe God that is not going to come back. He said, this enemy, you will see no more. So I believe God that I'm cancer free for the rest of my life. But we got to believe God, people of God, in every area. So purchase the book. Please get a copy and support. Love you. Good night, everyone. God bless you. Goodbye.